I want to share some ideas with you today about the wise men. Always, as we think of the wise men, the question comes up, how many wise men were there? And naturally, we concede by saying we don't really know for sure. It's usually in paintings, you see three wise men, but it could have been more. Nobody really knows for sure. We think of where they came from. The Bible says that they came from the east. We think of how long they must have been traveling, and we don't know. We just concede that it was a long time. Even as we think about the journey of the wise men, there was something that prompted that group of men to leave family, to leave jobs, to pack up the necessary items for a journey, and go in a direction in which they don't know their final destiny. I think we can learn some lessons here from the wise men today. Lessons that will help us to be more like Christ, and lessons that will give us hope as we search for Him. I would like to read the rest of the story that you started, Jeff. In Matthew chapter 2, I would like to begin reading with verse 1 again. Follow along with me if you like. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." We generally concede that these men were pagans, that they were not religiously oriented of the Jewish faith. But nevertheless, the Bible says that as they had followed that star, it was for the purpose of finding Christ and then worshiping Him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Verse 4, Herod gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, and he inquired of them, "Where is this Christ to be born?" And they replied, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For it's written in the scriptures by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then notice verse 7. Herod does something in secret. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, he determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.'" Can you believe it? As part of the result here is this miniature conversion of this Roman ruler. Don't you believe it? Verse 9, after the visit with the king, they left. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. I see a lot of parallel in the journey of the wise men to the journey that we're all in today. And that's the journey of life. Did you ever think that you would live this long? Now, I know I'm not talking to the children right now. Fred had a birthday last week or week before. God has blessed you. Did you ever expect to live this long? Jesus was supposed to come. We were at the funeral home last night over in Ellijay, and I looked around the room, and there's a growing number of people who are getting more and more bent and stooped as they walk. Their movements are getting slower. The journey of life for most of us is taking longer than we expected. Now, we want to live forever, but yet, when we gave our lives to the Lord and we began doing what's right and studying the Bible and going to church and reading and witnessing and being a man of faith and a woman of faith, it's burned within us. We're living in the last days. Jesus is coming. As the wise men started out and they were walking, and as they were riding on their camels and their donkeys, I am positive that one or two of them must have said, "I'm tired of riding. My hip hurts. I'm thirsty. I don't like your cooking. I'm cold. I'm hot. The sand is in my eyes. Get rid of this sand. It's everywhere." As they started their journey and traveling by night, they didn't get to see a lot of the landscape. I mean, how much do you see at night anyway? It would have been a good time to grumble, wouldn't it? And there's always one or two people in a crowd, even three or four people. There's always somebody who has the personality of takeover and caloric skills. You know what I'm talking about. There's always somebody that it's just easier for them to make decisions for everybody else. And that's okay. That's the way God made us. Where are we going anyway? I'm not sure. We're just following that star. You drug me all the way out here from my family and from my children and from my computer, and it's cold and I'm hungry. I can't wait to get to the next Taco Bell. The journey took longer than expected. But in the journey, just like in the journey of life, they would recognize God working in supernatural ways. The star itself, to these astronomers, was a special supernatural gift. How they were plotted and how they were convinced to follow the star to find the Messiah is in itself an unknown story. We have just little pieces of it, but not enough to put it all together. Supernaturally, God is working here among that group and saying to them, follow the star. Whatever happens, don't stop the journey. Don't stop. At last, they get to Jerusalem. No one else is as excited as they are. The little baby was there, but they didn't know who he was. I promise you also that Mary and Joseph did not fully understand all that was happening here at this point in time. They didn't have much money. They needed resources to live on. When they went to Bethlehem, they didn't know that they wouldn't be returning home, that they might be going down to Egypt for an extended stay. God's working. He leads the wise men right into town. Nobody is as excited as they are. So they begin to ask, where is the new king? Where is the child? We want to worship him. That's an interesting word in itself, is worship. You cannot study the trail of the wise men without ending up at the same place they did, and that is looking at the Christ child. in your spiritual journey, we are expecting to see the Christ child mature and as an adult now, coming in the clouds of heaven with tremendous power. And you will see that. That's on the authority of Scripture. That's coming to you. It's taking a little bit longer than expected to get there, but it will happen. And you will see Him face to face. You will be able to worship Him. Like the wise men as they came to where the young child was. It tells us right here in verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Nowhere in our story do we find the wise men leaving. Wouldn't it have been awful had they got just a few miles distant outside of Jerusalem or Bethlehem, and one or two of them would have said, "You know, I don't like this. My camel spits and slobbers, and I don't want to be with him anymore. I'm leaving." It would have been terrible had they just turned around and made the trip back to where they came from without ever seeing the Christ child. In our journey of life, we don't always get what we receive. I'll tell you a quick story. Immediately after this service, Ed and I, our families, we're leaving here, going across the mountain to LJ for a funeral at 2 o'clock. Our cousin died, 40 years of age. Melanoma cancer. The only child of his mother. I asked her last evening, standing beside the casket, Is there anything special that you want me to say tomorrow during the service? And she says, "No. Except I think he knew that this was coming." Sometimes our journey is cut short by sudden death. Accidents happen every day. But it's interesting that if we know we're dying, we have time in our own private way to talk to God. I don't know which way I would choose if I knew I had to die immediately. But I think I would rather know that I'm going to die so that I could have some quiet time with God before it all happens. I don't know. But in this journey of life, our prayers are not always answered the way that we want them. Talk to Fred and Pam. Talk about doors of employment opening and closing. And yet in the journey, we cannot just turn around and stop traveling. We have to hang on. We have to keep our focus. We are on a journey seeking the Christ, and as we seek the Christ, we see God working sometimes supernaturally in our behalf. As the wise men came to where Mary and the Christ child was, she must have recognized something in those men. Do you feel comfortable just letting strangers come in and be close to your newborn child? I don't think so. And yet, even Mary and Joseph, before it's all over with, they would have to say, "God sent them here." I mean, after all, they would bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh and financial resources for the next several months, enough to keep them going. And the wise men, when they saw the child, it tells us right here in verse 11, when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. the Oriental way of showing worship and of respect is to bow your forehead all the way down to the ground. Can't you just see these men in their robes of gold and brown and tan? And it must have been something there as they brought in their gifts and knelt down before that child and presented their gifts. Angels must have been secretly recording all that was happening. Neither party understood the lasting results of what they were doing. Now they could become missionaries. They could go back to their land and say, "We found him. We have seen him. This star supernaturally led us over this little baby." And then for Joseph and Mary, being warned in a dream, "You can't stay here because this wicked Herod is going to do damage. You have to leave. You have to go back somewhere else. Go to Egypt." That's what they were told. "I can't get a job in Egypt." But they have the money. They have the resources to go. And so they went. Have a lot we can learn from the story of the wise men. The journey takes much longer than expected. We can recognize the supernatural. And by faith, we know that we will see Jesus. We just cannot stop the journey. I like Galatians 6:9, and I've spoken of it a lot here as pastor. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." I want God to bless you on your journey to find the Christ. And as you find Him, give Him the best of your life and your resources. And God will supernaturally open up the abundance of heaven for you. Loving Father, today it is our intention to follow You. Some of us have not always done that. Some of us have been tempted to take detours. Some of us have been tempted to turn around completely. And yet today we find ourselves here in this room listening to this old story, thinking of what it must have been as the wise men found Jesus. We want to extend that into our own life's experience, looking forward to the day in which we see Jesus ourselves. But until then, our prayer is that You would keep each of us on the journey, that until our time comes, with Your calling, of course, to let go, we pledge ourselves to be faithful, to serve You, to hang on, and to do it with cheerfulness. Bless all of those this day who are hurting and suffering and do not know where the star is leading. Unite our hearts in faith as we pledge ourselves to follow the star, Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.